'cause all I need is...
Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys. Hey guys, welcome back to the Be Love podcast. I'm here with my friend Jeremy again. Jeremy, it's our fourth week together. People are either really sick of us, or they're so excited to have us back in their ears. What do you think it is?
I find that people always want more of me, Christy.
Yes. Yes, they do. Okay, for those who are new.
I'm sure there's some fatigue, but I'm excited to be back for a fourth and maybe final week. Who knows?
Maybe final week. Okay, so if you're just now joining us, you're like, who are these people? So here's the deal. This is what we've done. This is our fourth week together. So Jeremy has been on our podcast for the last three episodes. I don't usually do this. I usually, you know, do different episodes and interviews with people. And the whole premise of our Be Love podcast is to share stories of those who are loving others well in hopes to inspire the listener to do the same in their own ways. So every January, I do a kind of vision, mission, goals talk to help us figure out, you know, our gifts, our talents, how we can use those to love others well. And usually it's just like a one episode. I just find someone who's great at this and we do it and it's done. But I was talking to Jeremy and he does this for people all over, companies, individuals, helps them get unstuck, helps them create healthy boundaries and mission and vision for their life. And I thought, I just feel like since 2020 was so crazy that it just can't be one podcast. So, because we also like to talk a lot, we did four episodes. So if you haven't listened to those, you can go back to 88, where we talk about recovering from 2020. The next one is about mindset and self-talk, what we need to do to replenish ourselves. The third week is about boundaries and the aha moment that I had that I'm a total over-functioner. So that was great. And
yeah, we never got to come back to that.
Let's not. We don't need to come back to that. And then the fourth, this episode right now, we are talking about really how to make our values, our mission, and our goals. We're kind of finally getting into that goals. We're kind of wrapping everything up real pretty in a bow and helping people like logistically figure it out. And so that's what we're talking about today. Does that wrap it up in the bow for you?
Way better than I could have done. So good job.
Way better. Keep saying that. Way better. You do it way better. Okay, so here we go. We are going to be talking about mission and value. And a lot of times, Jeremy, what I hear from people in January is this fatigue of, I hear, make a mission statement for your life. Make your core values. Make your goals. What's your word? Blah, blah, blah. Like it's all these things. And for those of us who are probably Enneagram like threes and eights, or you're just kind of those persons who love this, you love it. I have like vision boarding nights at my house, and I mean, I love it. But I have some friends who are like, this is very stressful to me because I don't know the difference between all the things, and everyone's telling me to do all these things, make goals, make mission, make vision. So can you help clarify what those different things are and why they are so important to us? And then we'll talk a little bit later of how we can actually do that and not just kind of talk about it in this like big pie in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, first I would say, hey, there is so much out there. I mean, and part of why we waited for the last one, right? We wanted to have a different kind of series here and not just kind of jump into, hey, it's about to be January, you know, make all your resolutions and your goals and get, you know, because in 2020, we realized like that was such a year we needed to recover from that year. And so I would say what you just said is go back and listen to those first three podcasts to get yourself in a position where you're coming into a values, mission, goal setting kind of thing in a good place. Two, I would say that this is not supposed to be a shame creating exercise. So if you're feeling a lot of shame and just overwhelm and stress, hopefully this is going to take some of that off of you and realize like it doesn't have to be that way. There will be some probably like anxiety because you'll be questioning like, what should I be shooting for? And can I actually attain some of these things? And that's okay. If you don't have some anxiety in life, then you're probably just not trying much because you're going to have some. So sometimes anxiety is a good news, right? And then third, I want to give us maybe some simple things. So just sort of a little bit of like, okay, what are some things that I value in life and how do I kind of understand that? So what do I value? How do I set goals from those things? Because if you value those things, if you truly do want those things, you know, goals are really just about living a more purposeful, intentional life, the life that you want to have, the life that you want to create for yourself, versus, because what most people do is they try to fit like their job and their demands in their life. And this is saying that's opposite. You know, that's what we already like, go to school, go to college, get a job. And then you kind of figure out life somewhere and everybody's trying to cram their life into their job. It's actually the opposite. Like have a lot, fit your job into your life. And so what do you want that life to be? I know a mentor of mine, he was asked by one of his clients, the guy said, hey, help me understand something. Like, why is it? He's like, I have so much more money than you. But yet you're way happier, more fulfilled so in life rude. Than I am.
So rude. I have so much more money than you.
Well, you get a little picture of why the second part is
exactly.
He's very, very unfulfilled. No, but he said, so tell him, I don't understand. Why is that? And my friend Bob said, well, it's pretty simple. He said, like, you set out for a great amount of money. And I set out to create a great life. And some money has come with that. But, you know, I aimed at the life I wanted versus somebody else's vision. Because you're either, if you don't have a vision for your life, that means you're going to live someone else's vision for your life, or you're just going to wander aimlessly. And I think that's a lot of what we see. Does that get us started, or did I miss some of those questions yet?
That's perfect. So let's do that. Let's figure out what goes first. How do we pick some of those values for our life? Why is that important? And how can we live into those values through mission? And for me personally, I love this because I think it helps us know what we're good at. It helps us know what, you know, our passions are and the gifts that we've been given. And then the fun thing is getting to see how we can use those, you know, to bring life to us, but also to bring life to others. You know, that's why we're here, is to, you know, help others. And so I want to hear how you do that. How do you do that personally? How do you teach your clients to do that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, a lot of people will ask me that question. And a lot of people are coming out of places where some of them are like younger and kind of going like, oh, it'd be great to figure this out on the front end, right? Which is true. It's awesome. And then a lot of people are coming at it. I just did a session with a woman, 4 days ago. And, you know, she's early 40s. And she said, you know, I've never had the courage to go to do this process. And now I'm starting to realize like that I want to do it and that God's made me for more. God's made me to do more things. And I want help figuring that out. And so one of the places I start with is a few places. One, stories. So I have people tell me sometimes their whole story, sometimes just tell me about a time when you were most proud of yourself. Tell me about a time when you had to make a really hard decision and what happened. Tell me about a time where you made a huge mistake and what that was like. Tell me about a time that, you know, that you were, you know, most whatever. The other way, and because here's the deal, is the first thing is just to kind of know, like, what are you valuing right now? Because here's the truth. People are really good at succeeding at getting what they want. But we're just rarely honest about what we want, or we rarely even know. I can't tell you how many times somebody said, I've asked someone, okay, what do you want? And it's a couple things. What do you really want? And most people really don't know the answer to that question. And one of the, you know, probably everybody knows famous deathbed confessions is like one of the top five, or I think the number one was, I wish I'd had the courage to live the life that was true to myself, not the one others expected of me.
So first, so when I hear that statement, I hear you have to know, first of all, who you are before you can kind of go forward on that.
Yes. And is who I am now what I really want? Because what, so the way you go, like, what do you value now, right? Because I can tell you, here's one personally. I can tell you scientifically, logically, mentally, all those things. Sleep should be a massive priority in my life because I have to be sharp. I have to be connected. I have to be thinking all the time. I have to do, you know, be with people on a deep level all the time. And yet there are a lot of nights where I just stay up too late and do other things because I'm reading something or I'm hanging out with someone. I'm deepening a relationship, building a relationship. I'm hanging out with my wife. I'm watching a show on Netflix that I don't want to end. And so at that time, it goes, I can say I value sleep above all else, but my results show that it's not what I value. So one is look at your results. If you're like, because most people have vague wishes in their heads. I'd love to make more money. I would like to lose weight. I would, you know, and those are great starting places. But if I've been saying I should lose 15 pounds for the last 5 years, I'd like to have it, but I want a genie to give it to me. I don't actually value it. So right. My commitments are being revealed by the fact that I actually haven't done anything about it. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And would you say that that's more of even a goal than about, like, would a value be, I want to be healthy, like healthy and whole versus, you know, I would like to lose a certain weight. I mean, don't you even have to back it up more? I feel like the people that I know that have done the best at maintaining a goal is it's because they were very clear on their value, and their value was, I want to be healthy and whole for life, for my kids, those different things. There was another why besides I want to look good in a bathing suit, or I want, you know, there were, yeah. It always backed up to their values.
Yeah. So when I have people do goals, we can get to later, is not only like, what is the goal, but why do you want it? And who would you be if you had it? And what would you do with that thing? Like you said, there's underneath, it's like, why do I want that? But part of what I'm saying is kind of revealing first, like, get honest about the things that you truly value now that maybe aren't in line with what you want to be valuing. Like, you know, I value cheeseburgers more than losing that weight or whatever. Right. And it's like, okay, now I know where my starting point is. Which of those things that I'm currently valuing, do I want to build in? And which things do I say, I want other things. Like, I want to be a generous person, right? If you want to be a generous person, that's a value. Okay. Am I being generous now? Well, I don't have enough money to be generous. Like, no, you can live out generosity no matter who you are, basically.
Okay.
And so if I'm not living it out now, then what's the gap there? And why is that gap there? And is it just something that I feel like people expect me to be a generous person? And so I'm just trying to like live that, or is that really something deep down I value? So first is kind of getting honest about my results are telling me these are the things I value right now.
Right.
Is this what I want to continue valuing?
Or it's not the thing that I value that I think I should. So,
right.
So the first part on values is really reviewing what really is happening here. Like being really truthful about, hey, this is my life. And I say to people, I really value, you know, being compassionate, but my actions do not show that. So getting truthful with yourself, that's the first step.
That's it.
What's the next one?
Yeah. And then, okay. So number two, here's a couple of ways I have people do it. One, I mentioned the stories. The other is I say, tell me about the times when you felt most alive in the last, you know, you can go through your whole life, right, or whatever, and just list them. Tell me the times you've really experienced joy. So I think it was Howard Thurman that said, you know, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, and do that, because what the world needs is more people who are coming alive. Mm. And he doesn't mean that in a selfish way, but in the sense that that's when you are going to have the most impact in the world. And so like I still keep a running list of anytime I leave a situation or an encounter or something like that, and I felt like just amped and jazzed and engaged and excited and alive, I write it on that list and try to understand what that thing is.
That's awesome.
I also have clients do the opposite. I have to make a judgment list. I talk about what are the kinds of people that you judge, right? So people that drive in the left lane and go slow. People who are always late to meetings, you know, people who don't value the relationship more than, does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
And so you start to make the judgment list, and we'll talk in a few minutes about kind of revealing the hidden scorecard, but when we start to make a judgment list, it's kind of the anti list. And some of them are just like, maybe personal peeves and frustrations that you need to work on. But others, you know, recognize values, you know what I mean? So, and I help people do this both at home and work, right? Because for instance, home is sort of like, my wife values a really clean kitchen far, far more than I do. I value it. I'm not like a slob, but I, you know, because value is really like the lens through which you see the world. It's like, what do you think is important in the world? And you know that by the way you moralize about them, right? So you're like, people, somebody's sorry I was late, and you're like, well, they're lazy, they're disrespectful. Like you just have that Got in it. Your mind. So that judgment thing is cueing you to like, I'm moralizing something that is actually a preference or a value, which tells me that's something that's I really value.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that, you know, we can love anyone is by help valuing what they value, right? So I can love my wife by valuing the fact that she likes a clean kitchen and helping out with that. But if it wasn't for her, I really wouldn't, you know, some dishes in the sink, some crumbs on the counter, I wouldn't even really notice it because the lens I'm seeing is not that, it's something else. It's efficiency, it's urgency, it's can I get to my sandwich or whatever it is.
Right,
it's not about
right. The
dishes.
There's no purpose in the dishes for us. There's no.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not...
Right. So we have like a, it's interesting that you say that because I think that is important for people to help them understand what they value. And you're right. The thing I just was thinking in my head, like, what are the things that even my spouse, like he really values that I'm like, I mean, it's just not like, I just don't care. But to love them well, obviously we're valuing and that's important to them. So it's important to us. How do we get clear on our specific values? Because there's so many. So like for me, you know, I just did something similar where we had to kind of figure out our core values and I wanted all of them. I was like, oh, these are
yeah,
so
they're all
good.
Great.
They're all great. You know, I want to be this, you know, good person and all these different things. So how do we kind of edit them down to who we are? And you know, I think it's what you just said, knowing yourself and the things that light you up, the things that, you know, you bring to the table. And when you mix those things with the values, I think it's just, it can be magic. We just have to figure it out.
Yep. So start with some of the things I said. You have a little running list of what makes me, you know, come alive. What are the themes and the stories that I tell about those things? Where are the place I experience joy? Where's my judgment list? And what are the opposite of those things? And that will give you a big list. And then you create a forcing function. And you can pull up, you know, I could give you a list of, I've got a list of like a, I don't know, 50 values. I mean, you can pull those up. Like, what are a list of 50 values? And then you can kind of like, you know, yeah. Pull different ones. But then a forcing function is, okay, I have to decide on four. And you might even go three. I have to decide on three or four values that really are, this is who I want to be. And that's what I'm going to dial into. And then, so let's say you choose generosity as one of the ones you choose, and then what you're going to do is you're going to try it on like a new few days or a week or a month and see how it fits and see if it resonates. And the second thing you're going to do is talk to someone else about it. You know, and of course, you know, friend, spouse, coach, counselor, whatever. And part of what, you know, we're talking here about the 21-day challenge I created, several of the days will give you resources to do this. It's kind of dials that in some. So definitely sign up for that. But, you know, by and large, it's sort of forcing yourself to create three or four and say, like, these are my key ones. Yeah, these other ones are great. Yes, I see those in myself, but they're not as important to me as these other ones. And be really honest, like, you know, if money is one of your values, like just making a ton of money is one of your values. Be honest about that. Instead of being like, well, everybody will think I'm greedy if I'm doing that. You got to kind of be honest about it. You might change it. But like, be honest, try it on. And then you're going to find, well, you know what? The pants fit and the shirt fits, but the jacket's a little tight here and there, and I'm going to change it. And so as you talk to others and try it on a bit, it starts to come out. It becomes more clear. So it's a little bit more of a process, but it's also a process, not only a process of discovery, it's a process of creation. And that's a different part of this. So hopefully that helps start to like clarify some of those things that help you go, all right, this is really what I am, what I value.
two things that I hear you saying is, one, for my perfectionist friends, is that you say, try it on, see if it fits. You're allowed to change it. I think sometimes when we make these goals and these vision, we have in our mind that it has to be perfect, that it has to be exactly what we think it should be, and we can't change it. And, you know, the different seasons of life, our values can change a bit when we have family. You know, the most important things probably always stay the same to us, but do you see values changing in the different seasons and stages of life?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. Because what I value when I was in high school or in college or 10 years out of college, even different than now, you know, because yeah. Now I have three kids, I have a business, I have a different set of knowledge in a different place. So yeah, they do change. There are some things that have remained very much sort of core, right? And generally that is deep inside of what real, like the core drivers, yeah. Those are, but personality is not permanent. And neither are sort of some of your values. You don't usually see like total pendulum swings, you know, like, but you definitely adopt different values as you have different things happening in life. That just makes sense. Right.
Right.
So, but if you make those, you may start to make those lists. And at the end I can maybe do the little hidden scorecard thing, that helps. Then it starts to come alive, because like I said, people are really good at optimizing for what they want, but we don't generally know very clearly what we want. And this is a process going like, what do I really want? And what does it mean to me? And then I can actually go get it, because it's not just, you don't figure this out in just some process of like instant revelation or sitting in a field meditating. Not that that's a bad thing to do, but like you don't just discover it. You kind of start to go, this is who I want to be. And then you start to forge that character and forge that, that path forward. You have to create it as much as find it.
I like the part about who you want to be versus what you want to do. Cause I think sometimes we're so driven on the success of doing, whether it be promotions, you know, new jobs, this title, do I feel important in these people's eyes, instead of who I want to be, the character, the values that I want to be? I want to be a generous person. I want to be a loving person. I want to be a compassionate person. I want to be someone who's present. You know, those are the values, and really the titles don't add up. And I think there's such freedom in figuring out our values and our mission, because jobs are jobs. And yes, the outside world tends to make those such a big deal. But the person of who you are is what matters, you know, the most. Hey everyone, I love telling you about companies that knock it out of the park with doing good and giving back. And here is one that I just found out about. If you love fashion, you're gonna wanna listen to this one. So it's called reruns.com. Their tagline is secondhand, people first. And here's what they do. Basically, you can buy and sell quality pre-loved clothes and earn the same amount of money you would earn on other sites. They make it super simple and easy to shop for high quality finds from top kid and adult brands. Basically, you list the items you want to sell and you earn money just like that. But then here's the catch. They thought, in addition to giving things we've loved new life, what if the simple act of buying and selling could help people in need? So at Reruns, they give all of their profits to deserving charities across the country and around the world. It's this simple idea with beautiful possibilities. Be love, do good. Check them out at reruns.com. Hey, I wanted to introduce you to another sponsor for our episode, which is Hit Your Stride LLC. Hit Your Stride is a professional development company that helps people look and sound smart when they talk. If you or your team need to think better on your feet, be more collaborative, make more compelling presentations, or close more sales, Hit Your Stride is the answer. They offer award-winning online and in-person workshops using improv-based techniques blended with the latest science of human performance. All their programs are interactive, content-rich, eminently practical, and highly entertaining. If you'd like a copy of their free resource, Psyching Yourself Up for Your Big Moment, text or call them at 314-401-0066. That's 314-401-0066. Or visit hityourstride.com to learn more. This will also be in our show notes. Thanks so much, Hit Your Stride. Love that we're having this conversation, because we're, you know, older, oldish, middle age. What are we? Are we middle age? Do we call them
middle age? 41, right? I think you're 6 months older than me, if
That's
I remember
correctly. That's true. I'm a good 25. But I think it's important because I think sometimes people don't do this work is because they feel like they're late to the game. So a lot of times they think, oh my gosh, everyone else already knows their mission and everyone else already knows their values. But I think there's such freedom in even us just talking about it to say, not everyone has this figured out. I mean, I am assuming that some of the even very successful in the world's eye CEOs that you're with, if you were to ask them, what are your core values and mission, that they couldn't give it to you.
Yeah, correct. Far more people have no idea. So like, that's again, like, let's don't make it a shame exercise. Let's make it it's never too late exercise. It's never too late to do something different. And, that's a good, I see lots of people, high power people. Generally they have sort of optimized for the wrong thing. Like I have a client that, I'm working with now, and he's a top executive of Fortune 100 company. And, he had a point in his life where he was like, this is miserable. What am I doing? This is nothing to do. And as we went back through saying like, what were your kind of goals? And sort of unconsciously, like his goals were really like, status and title in particular industry. And so, but that's not who he is. He values creativity and he values curiosity and learning and things like that. And so he optimized his life for those things and he got there. Just like, pretty much if you do optimize, you will get there. But then you realize like they were completely antithetical, or not antithetical, but certainly a lot of dissonance between what he actually valued. And so you get people that go into like careers in acting and wire Hollywood because they went into acting because they were creative, but instead of pursuing creativity, they pursued fame or money. Mm. And so those are the kinds of things where you kind of get caught up and go like, oh my gosh, now I'm 30, 40, 50, 60. And like, what do I really want to do? And am I living my life or someone else's life? But it's never too late. And everything else that you did that you feel like maybe was a mistake or script, like all that can be used and incorporated in this new thing. So it's not wasted.
Right. Right. Okay. Where would you take us next? So if I'm a client of yours, and I'm trying to figure it out because maybe I've been a stay-at-home mom, or maybe I have done something that I didn't really love, but it's just what I had to do at the time. And now I'm trying to figure it out after I kind of got to the values point, where would I go next?
So we'd start thinking about, mission vision. And one of the questions I'd say there is, I'll just for public consumption, I'll just call it the holy crap question, which is sort of like, if you called me in 3 years and said, Jeremy, like, holy crap, this has been the greatest 3 years of my life, like personally, professionally, all these, like, it's been unbelievable. I never could have imagined how good it would be, like all that kind of stuff. Then what are the things you'd be telling me about? Mm-hmm. Like what, and then paint the picture. So, because vision is about seeing, right? It's about pictures. So you need a picture of what that looks like, in your life. That sort of can lead you to like a life purpose statement or mission statement. But really what that is it's more of a compass than a map. And mm-hmm. I think that is because the map, like we found out in 2020, like the map got totally thrown out the window.
Yeah.
But if you had a compass, then you could keep moving directionally toward what you're aiming at, even if the map was a mess.
Right. How do you say that word? Say it again. Not the map, but the what?
Compass.
Is it compass?
That might be my South Carolina roots.
It is your compass. It's your compass. No, I love that. And I think it's your compass. Get your compass right. I think for me, as I think about that, like what would be my, like if I called you and, you know, the holy crap, you know, whatever, I think sometimes in my head, I think, well, all these other factors have to happen to make, like those aren't in my control. This has to happen or this, and those aren't in my control. So I don't know if I can really make that happen. How do we bring it back to our responsibility? What we can do in that time?
What do you mean? You mean what we can do with that vision?
Yeah. So like if I called, so how can we make it our responsibility? So I think sometimes like for me, so if I was like, oh man, this did this, and oh, this was so much fun, and I love doing this. Like for me, it might be like, let's just go with me. Our children's book, like, really went nuts, and I got to go speak in different schools, and you know, really encourage families about how to love others. And I got to have people in my home who are different than me, and I got to learn from them, and I got to, you know, serve the poor and the vulnerable, and all those different things. But in my head, I'm like, oh, but if my book wasn't bought by a bunch of people, or if someone doesn't ask me to come speak, then those things don't happen. Then it's not, you know, quote success. Like, it's, I pin it on other people, maybe, instead of what are the things that I can actually do to have that moment, instead of kind of pinning the responsibility on other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think I understand what you're saying. And one of them is to have a compass or a purpose that isn't, in a sense, outcome dependent on other people, right? Mm-hmm. So again, not fitting your work into your life, not fitting your life into your work, but your work into your life. And so if your goal or your life purpose is around, like, you know, impacting families to make families more purposeful, intentional, and, mm-hmm. And whole, I don't know, I'm just making something up, right, for you, then there are a lot of ways to live that out. The book was one of those ways. So the book was not your purpose.
Yeah.
The book was a one way in which you could live out that purpose. And if the book had been a, let's say, only done 10% of what it did or whatever, then you're still able to live your purpose out in other ways, right? And it's again about, what do you value and optimize for? Am I optimizing for the number of likes I'm getting, the number of follows I'm getting, the number of credentials, or am I optimizing for impact or influence or whatever those things are? And then if the book idea is not working, then great, you can change it. You know, like, but it was just one way in which you were living that out, not the whole sort of gamut, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes total sense. And I like that. And I think that's why values is so important. Like, you're always going back to whatever goal you make, whatever, you know, vision you have, like, you're always going back to that value to say, does it align with your values? Does it align with that mission? I mean, is that how you teach people, and also you make decisions of how you're going to say yes to something or go after something? Is that why it's so important to have those values and missions, so you have something that you can align it with?
Yeah, it is. And I probably should have said this, you know, from the beginning, but you think about it, like, how many decisions we have to make, and are we just making those decisions based on whim or gut, based on what other people are going to think or do, or are we making them out of a values based, going like, you know, if I'm really a person that wants to value, you know, generosity and authenticity and justice, does this decision make sense? Or does saying yes to this make sense or no? And so it becomes a great filter for saying no, because you need to say a no to a lot of things in order to actually achieve much of anything. And then it actually serves people really well, because, like I was saying before, I can tell you how many, you know, leaders, CEOs that I've worked with or coached, that, like, when Sarah was showing up late for their meeting, they were just like, obviously she thinks I'm a poor leader and doesn't value my leadership and disrespects me and those kinds of, like, that's just the story. Back to the story, that's just the story you're telling yourself, like, because right. That's such a value for her. For you, it's not for her, and you haven't actually communicated it.
Yeah,
I worked with a CEO just last week, and he was like, I don't understand why the director at this location over here doesn't get how important, or, you know, doesn't get the grounds and the buildings aesthetically beautiful and all those kind of things. And I said, well, have you ever expressed to him that that's a value you have? And he's like, well, it's obvious, right? I mean, that should be normally done. And it's like, so see, those things are just there.
Yes.
They seem obvious. And he's like, this person's obviously a terrible leader. But I was like, again, back to extreme ownership, like, when did you communicate this to him? And that's what I call, like, assumptive leadership, is you're just assuming they're going to value the aesthetic and the piece as much as you do. And you need to communicate. So that helps you serve them and show up and help everybody understand what the expectations are. So those values help you really make decisions quick, help you say no much easier. Because it typically feels like you're always trying to come up with some excuse to say no. Well, you know, we really can't afford that right now. Or that's, you know, so-and-so, okay, there's my mom needs for this, or like the marketing team is this. And it's like, if you actually just say, you know, one of my core values is this, and I have to do this instead, people go, oh, that makes sense. And that's kind of interesting.
Right. And it helps, I think, also communicating that. I mean, I'm just thinking of like in your marriage, at your work, whoever you lead, like you're communicating, this is really important to me. This is my value. Just like that, that person probably had no idea that he was doing something wrong. That just, he didn't even think about it because it wasn't important to him. It didn't matter as much. But if he knew that was mattered to his boss or to the company at large, that's something that he could have done. So I think communicating is key. As we kind of finish.
And where do you think I'm going to have a better conflict situation is like if my wife and I have a discussion about what we both value, or if, you know, if I call her a, you know, obsessive neat freak and she calls me a slob or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
we don't do that, but I'm saying like, you know, like most of the time we're fighting up here, which is like the event or the thing that was said, the passive aggressive comment, versus going like, huh, it's really a value. It's down that emotional funnel of like, this is something you really value that maybe I don't see. And so let's talk about it. And because that's a much less personal place that we can actually have a productive conversation on. And same with your employees or boss or whatever.
If you were with a team, like let's say I had a team of five that I was leading, I think a great exercise would be to do this, you know, individually, but to share with each other, to say, these are my top four values, you know, generosity, this, and not even just for your company, like you're probably going to have that for your company, but for you personally, because you're working with people or in your family, it's kind of like, you know, when we did the love languages with our family, you know, what do we value? What's most important to us as a family, but also as an individual, because we're all different. And I think that would just be a game changer, you know, for communicating with one another and loving each other well.
It's totally true. And what actually happens usually is like when I'm coaching a leader or consulting with him or her, and then we go through a process like that and they start to see how impactful it is on both them personally and the bottom line of the company, then they're like, okay, now come do this with our team, our executive team. Now come do this with my family. And you're right. It becomes extremely valuable because all of a sudden, like you're right, what Patrick Lencioni talks about of like getting naked with each other, right? There's vulnerability and transparency. Now you and I can, it's not just like, you know, Margie's always late or she never, her sales team is blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, that's a different value set. And how do we actually bring those together under one sort of banner and organization? So that's part of why like it's so important to do that. And from there, then you can start setting specific goals that align with, you know, those values. And it becomes much less stressful to be like, just conjure up some goals for what you want this year, you know?
Right. It always aligns. So as we kind of wrap up, tell me, we went value. So I know I'm going to look at a list. So if I'm just doing this for the first time, I'm going to look at a list and I'm going to look at what kind of resonates with me based on story, based on me really being truthful with how I'm actually living and what I think, you know, should be my value, what really is, what brings me life. How can I live out of those? And then take me to the mission. Is that different than the values, or how is that living out the values? Explain that to me.
Yeah, the values are the lens through which you see the world and the things that are dear to you.
Okay.
The mission is the unifying directional goal or purpose, the compass, if you will, of like how those things are going to get expressed in the world. You know, so if you value, you know, some of mine are justice, humor, authenticity, like if there's a million ways to express those things, right? So like, what is my mission? And then how do I make it where I can pursue that mission despite what my job is, or despite what my spouse says or my boss does or whatever? Doesn't mean there won't be some limitations, but your purpose is really more of a directional, like, here's where my life is going. It's that 3-year holy crap question. Mm-hmm. Or it's the compass is going, this is kind of the direction my life is going. This is the vision, the picture I have of my life, of what I'm becoming. It's the identity I'm creating. If that makes sense. And you know, you need help to like work that into a goal. And one way to do that is to take your top three values and take the top three ways you like to express them. I think I said this in one of the other ones, like, what are you coaching, speaking, singing, you know, whatever. And all right, here's my three values and here's the three ways I like to express them. And this is the 3-year vision. Put that together. My goal, my mission in life is, you know, to use my generosity, justice, and authenticity to coach, mentor, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, and then
right.
just, you can, that's one very simple way to build it. And obviously sometimes it's great just to work with a coach or a friend or a mentor. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you do, you should be sharing it. Like, here's what I think, because that will make you much more likely to achieve your mission, your goals, any of those things.
Yeah. I like the picture of the macro. So like values, mission, that's more macro to me. And then we get more specific in some of the goals, you know, and honestly, for some reason, you might have a better idea of why. The macro, the values, the mission is very easy for me. I'm like, boom, done. The goals, the specific goals are like where I get anxiety. And I don't know if that's because I'm nervous that I'm not going to do it, or I have no idea. But the values mission, never been a problem. It is literally like the goals part, the specific goals for that year or for that, you know, whatever. That's the thing that I'm like, and stop on. So
there's
I don't
two
know.
Reasons for that.
Okay, give it to me. You know why.
One is, and I'm like this too, much more love the big picture. Details drive me nuts, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much on all things. So like one is you're just a big picture like thinker. Other people who are detail oriented people will have an easy time, like
yes.
little goals and daily things and strategy and all that. Like, I don't know what, you know, and my wife and I are just like, if I'd say, babe, what do you think will happen in 5 years? She's like, I don't know. I'm thinking about 5 days, you know, like that's the window. And that's not good or bad. That's not right or wrong. So I don't hear me demeaning that
yeah.
because like, actually, if we didn't have that together, like we wouldn't get our family running the right way.
Right.
But the second reason is because, you know, goals are specific. Like, you know, goals should say, I want this, you know, I want how much and by when. And, you know, like that's how it, so you can't just say like, oh, I want to own a second house someday. It's like, nope, by the end of 2023, yeah. I will own a house on Lake Wobegon. And, you know, it will be this big. And,
yeah.
Because then all of a sudden it locks you in. Now I'm accountable to something,
yeah.
right? Because you've like written it down and shared it, and like people are going to be looking, and you kind of feel like, oh, will I make it or not?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
Some of the stress.
Yep. That's it. Okay. So if you're listening to this and you're like, ooh, I want to do the values, I want to figure out my mission, and maybe that's easy for you or vice versa. And I do think it's all about personality. That's what I think has been so interesting in these 4-part series is that so many personalities – it's different for. So I have the same friends who hate the vision board. Like, I'm like, let's do a vision board. And they're like, that sounds awful. And they're like, but can we do an Excel spreadsheet for the, you know, I'm like, no, I was like, that sounds horrible. So it's just, I think the different personalities, but if you want to get more clear on these things, and if this sounds something like, ooh, number one, I've never done this before. Number two, maybe you're in a different stage of life where you're coming out of, you know, being at home or doing a different job, and you're like, oh, I just don't feel like that's what I was supposed to be doing. And maybe you're 40, you know, I don't call it a midlife crisis, but I feel that, you know, where you're coming kind of into a new thing, and that's fun. And that's awesome. Can they get, they can get in the 21-day challenge, and then I would say, just call you and have you figure it out for them.
Yeah. First celebrate the fact that like, something's moving you, like you're going to change some part of your life that's going to be exciting and impactful. Second thing is, yeah, sign up for the 21-day challenge. You'll get, you know, my website, recreate-solutions.com. You can sign up there. And then, yeah, there's also a link where you can just call and just book a 15 or 30 minute conversation. We can just get started on that and see if, you know, you would want to work more purposely for that, or if I can, you know, refer you to someone that would help you. But I have my own coaching and mentoring to do this, because you can't do it all on your own, because you can't see everything.
Yeah.
And yourself. And so, yeah, those would be some of the next steps. And then I think I've got a resource or two that I'll give you that you can also put in the notes.
Okay, perfect. Alrighty. Well, thanks for being with us for 4 weeks. And again, if you haven't listened to the first one, go back to episode 88, and then they all kind of build from there. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for all your help. It's been fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on our four-part series about recovery and replenishing for the new year. You know, usually I love to do these goal podcasts where we talk about who we need to be, who we are, how we can use our gifts and our talents and our passions to love others well. And we made it into a four-part series because we thought there was so much to recover from in 2020 and replenish. So make sure you go back to our show notes, get all of the different questions so you can dig in deeper, and make sure if you have any questions or you do want some help with this to reach out to my friend who was on all four podcast episodes, Jeremy Beedenball at recreate-solutions.com. Okay, let me tell you what we have coming up next week. We are doing an entire series on being love in our marriage. I have authors and therapists on and marriage counselors, and we're just going to be talking about how we can do this. It's been really hard during this pandemic, and marriage itself is work, but it's also some of the most life-giving and incredible work if we just choose to do it and we know how. So that's what we're going to be diving into the next 4 weeks. Make sure you stay tuned. And for all of you, if you have been encouraged by our podcast, if you would please leave a review for us, that is huge in the podcast world, and we would be so honored and grateful. Again, thank you so much for putting us in your earbuds or having us in the car or going on a walk with us every week on the Be Loved podcast. We're so grateful to be a part of your life. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast or you left a review, shared it with a friend, because we want as many people as we can to hear this message of what it means to love others. And don't forget to check out our website to grab our new children's book, The Lunchbox Note, A Story of Loving Others. Or if you want to dig a little deeper of ways to strengthen your family, so you can love your community well, check out our family coaching tab at BeStrongStory.com. You can find us over at BeStrongStory, all one word, on all our socials so we can get to know you more. Above all else, thanks for helping us make this world a more loving place. We believe with our whole hearts that every single person, you listening, is worthy of love, and every person can share that love and make a difference in this world. See you next week, you guys.